Our text for this morning is the Gospel from Mark 4. It began in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So the parable in the reading for today is called the parable of the growing seed. Now, all of you are probably much more familiar with the parable of the sower of the seed. And this is the one, you know, where the sower goes out and some of the seed lands on rocky ground. Some of it is choked out by weeds. Other is captured by birds. And still yet some lands on good soil. Now, that parable teaches that what happens when people hear the word of God, right? It teaches us about the conditions of the one receiving the word. This parable is a little different, and it actually comes after the parable of the sower, and it's recorded only in Mark's gospel. And it tells us not about the one who hears the word, it tells us about the power of the word itself. So the story begins with Jesus telling us the kingdom of God is like a man sowing seed on the ground. The man goes about his business, and whether he goes to sleep or wakes, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, out of the soil comes the plant, and when the grain is ripe, it is ready for the harvest. So the meaning of the parable is pretty simple, straightforward. Seed is the word of God. It has the power to produce a crop ready for the harvest. The ground is the heart of the believer who receives the word of God. And when the seed works faith in the heart of the believer, it produces a plant. The sower is anyone who trusts in the word and shares it with others. The harvest is either the last day or the day when we die and our judgment is sealed. But now consider it a little further and take some lessons from this. And then also, I hope, too, we find a comforting message here at the end. The chief lesson of this text is that the word of God is powerful. The word of God is able to produce faith. It doesn't just inform us about things. It accomplishes something. It accomplishes faith in the heart. And notice in the story that the word of God is that which is sown into the soil of the human heart. So soil has no life in itself, but rather the seed contains life, and it produces life out of that which is seemingly dead. The seed doesn't need anything added to it, but it is sufficient on its own so that when it falls on good soil, it is ready to produce a good crop. And God says nearly the same kind of thing about the power of his word 700 years earlier through the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 55, he writes, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower, bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Likewise, the author of the book of Hebrews summarizes this saying, the word of God is living and it is active. So if it's true that the word, which represents the seed in the parable, is living and active, well, we could say that the opposite is true as well, namely that the ground is dead and passive. The earth lies there. It doesn't ask for the seed, doesn't invite the seed to come to it. Rather, the seed intrudes. The seed affects a result. And this describes the conversion of believers. The Bible says that before having faith, we are dead in our sins and in our trespasses, unable to do anything to prepare ourselves for God's harvest. We're as helpless as the dirt on the ground without any seed in it, which is to say that by ourselves we cannot produce a crop of righteousness. It's the word of God that works on us. It's the word of God that brings us to have faith in God. Without the word, we cannot produce this crop. We are helpless. And just like this helpless ground, the seed must be brought to it by another. And this brings us to the second great lesson of the parable. And that is that just like the seed in the story is sown, the word of God needs to be spread, needs to be proclaimed. Because man is helpless to save himself, God commands his apostles to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. Christ gave the command so that his disciples would spread the word. Share the gospel. Tell people the good news of Christ's victory over sin and death all over the world. It's like seed scattered over a field. The book of Acts describes the way that this was done from the very beginning, saying those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Christ gave the command publicly to publicly preach this word. He gave it to pastors. But you know, the work of evangelism is something that isn't just limited to public preaching. When we talk about spreading the word, it isn't just something that a pastor does in a pulpit. The work of sharing the word is the work of Christians. And if you think of your own life, when did you first come to believe? When did you first hear the good news of Jesus? For many of us, it happened not when the pastor said anything, but when it happened, we heard it in the home, from our family, from our loved ones. And so it is, too, that when somebody cares enough to share the scriptures to you, to teach you, and others who convert later on, they're brought to the God's house by another loving friend who wants to have that word shared with them. The word of God is to be shared by all who trust in the power of the word. But in order for Christians to sow this word, they must know the word. Which brings me to a question. How well do you personally know the word of God? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, how many passages can you memorize, or have you memorized, and can you speak by rote? And I'm not talking about, you know, vague, you know, esoteric or trivial knowledge about the Bible. Like, you know, was it Abraham or Job who was from Ur, and which one is from Uz? You know, that may be interesting or not, but it really is just trivial. What I'm talking about is, how well do you know what the scriptures say? How familiar are you with the message and content of the Bible? Do you know where the Bible says you come from? Where it says you're headed? Where you're going and how to get there? Do you know who God the Father is and what he wants from you? And how he wants you to live your life in this world before him? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Do you know what he has done for you? Do you know how he has washed you clean from sins, made you acceptable to the Father and fit for the kingdom of heaven? Do you know the content of Scripture well enough to explain this message accurately and relevantly to someone who doesn't know Jesus? And if not, why not? You know, perhaps the reason so many people don't know Christ and they don't serve him is because so many Christians don't know what they themselves believe. Much less are they willing to talk about our Lord with anyone else. And of course, this isn't the fault of God. Again and again, Christ encourages his followers, listen to his word, abide in my word. And we, as modern day followers, need to listen to the word first for ourselves, but also so that we can be equipped to share the word with others. Now look, it's a good start that you're here in church. I don't mean to beat up on anybody here. You came to church. Good, thank you. That's great. But it's a start. 168 hours in the week. You've got one here. And you're going to have to balance that out if you're going to really become familiar with the Word of God. You need to read the Bible. You need to study it. I love that we said the collect for the Word today. You know, we sometimes say it, and in recent hymnal, we softened it up a little bit. But here for the collect of the day, kept it the same. Grant that we may read, mark, learn, and, say it with me, inwardly digest thy word. Isn't that such a great, you know, image? Digest that word. Take it to heart. Chew on it. That's what it is to get to know God's word. You internalize it. When you really know that, it takes time to study it like that. But then it will shape you. Its message of law and gospel, so that you know what it means to be a forgiven sinner in Jesus, whose sins have been paid for by his death and resurrection. Once you know this gospel message, then you will be ready to share it with those who do not. Even then, though, there's one more thing you must do when you share the word of God, and that is that you must trust the word of God to do its work. The last great lesson from today's parable is that sowers of the word must trust the word to work on its own. And for some, it seems that once they overcome the temptation, you know, they're not going to keep silent about the word anymore. Then they maybe get a little overzealous about it. And then what happens is you can become frustrated when evangelism doesn't produce the results that you want to see and on the time schedule that you want to see it. You know, the man of the parable, it says, he didn't understand the mystery of the growth of the seed, but he didn't worry about it either. Jesus says he sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, though he knows not how. And this must be our attitude when we go about the work of sharing the word of God and preaching the gospel. We must not doubt its power, but we trust that it will accomplish what it was sent out to do. Let me tell you, as a pastor, this frustration is very familiar, and here's what I mean. You know, you try to plan outreach and ideas and ways in which we're going to get the word out there, and you come up with these elaborate plans. You have all these big dreams about how it's all going to come together. You know, the whole world's going to convert to a Missouri Synod Lutheran, right, and join this church. Well, it doesn't work out that way, and you get to be frustrated. Well, why doesn't it work? Well, I worked so hard on this, you know, and I wanted to see it this way, and it doesn't happen. And I'll tell you, too, personally, that this is... The validity of your ministry seems to be judged by so many of my peers by simple numerical growth. I can't tell you the number of times that, you know, I meet church workers and stuff, and I'll say, oh, yeah, I'm a pastor here in Plano, and they'll, oh, really? Tell me about your church. Is it growing? And what they mean to say, I'll tell you how I hear it, is, so, you any good at your job? You know, it's what they're asking. And you think, well, wait a second. But all we can learn from this parable this morning, that if a church grows and produces true Christians, and I don't mean merely people who show up to be entertained or people who show up hoping to earn salvation by you know, doing some sort of work for God or something like that, but I mean true Christian disciples, people who are led by the Word of God, people who live lives of repentance and faith. If a church grows and increases with people who are ripe for the harvest and headed for the kingdom, the only thing we can do is say that that church has grown by the grace of God. St. Paul had the perfect perspective on this. You know, there was a tension at the church in Corinth. There's this issue between, you know, Paul had been the pastor, started this up as a missionary, and then there was other pastors and people who had come through. Apollos was the name of one of them. And he writes to them because they're quarreling. You know, some say, I follow Paul, and others say, I follow Apollos. And he says, what after all is Paul? What is Apollos? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow, so that neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Paul didn't worry about the growth, but he trusted that since he and Apollos had proclaimed the word of God faithfully, God would do with it as he saw fit. He would do as he promised and bring about growth in his own way. Now look, it's easy to become frustrated too with this on an individual level. You maybe have people in your life, you know, friends, family, people that you've been praying for a long time. Maybe people you've sat down and talked with, tried to encourage, can you be more faithful? Why don't you treasure this the way I do? You know, share with them and evangelize with them. And maybe you haven't seen any change. Maybe you've been hoping for something, more faithfulness or something like this. When it doesn't work out on the schedule you want or doesn't happen the way that you envision, don't let it discourage you. Like the sower of the seed, you may not understand how the word works, but you can trust that it will. Even the most sincere Christians can become anxious to see the promised growth of God's word. We want it to work right now in the way that we imagine it. But sometimes we've got to be patient. Seeds don't grow into plants overnight. You don't always see the results right away. In fact, it may take years before a person's ready for the word to take root and sprout. So far, these are the three things we've talked about on the basis of this parable. First, we've noted that we should believe that the word of God is powerful, living and active, able to save us, just like seed that goes into the ground, brings life out of dead ground. Second, we've talked about the importance of spreading this word and how we are to make this word known. And in order to do that, we have to know it well ourselves. And third, we should trust that the word will do its work, and we should refrain from getting in its way. But the last thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that not something you need to do or something you need to think about and how to apply in your life, but just something to take comfort in. And that's this. The parable about the word gives assurance to us believers that when the word of God dwells in us, it is working and active in us, making us ready for the harvest. That is, the word makes us ready for the day when Christ comes again to judge the world. On that day, those who are still living will go before their Maker, and the dead will be raised again to face him. Christ will look favorably on those who by faith trusted him and listened to his word, and we will recognize his voice. And these he will take with him to live in his kingdom for eternity. And this assurance is a great comfort to those of us who hear the word of God and trust in it. We could find comfort in the fact that God has allowed his seed to be cast on us. It has worked in us. It has changed us from something that was dead into something that is alive. St. Peter encouraged the believers with the same good news when he says this: "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." And this is the word that was preached to you. The word of God has been preached to you, all of you. And since the word of the Lord endures forever, then you and me and all who cling to God's word by faith will also endure forever. We will endure forever with him in his heavenly kingdom. And this is the true and certain promise we have, that God's word is and has been working in us like seed growing into a crop that will be ready for the harvest. So may God, who has begun this good work in you, carry it out to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.